The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You're listening to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you're going to have a good show. And just to give you a little bit of a heads up, tomorrow night I'll be on, Clubhouse. And what I'll be doing there is answering questions that people just call up. It's the same thing here, except I get in more details. That's what I'll do a lot more. So there's that. And if you want to join, you can. And just download on your phone Clubhouse. And if you want to do it on the PC, it's Club Deck. All right. And we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. So before the show, we pray, and I talk to the people, Ernie, Charlie, Laura, they're in the room, in the chat room, and we get things set up, we pray, they work on stuff, it's really great, they're great, they really are, they help a lot, and they just take a lot off my plate, so thank you, praise God, seriously. And one of the things we're talking about, which we'll be mentioning more and more, is AI, artificial intelligence, and so I've been playing around with it, and I barely even scratched the surface. It is incredibly impressive. I'm not worried about it taking over. And the reason I'm not worried about taking over, at least not yet, is two main things. I spent a couple of hours talking with a PhD candidate who's developing AI and security issues and things like that. And we just talked on the phone and gave me a lot of information. And he's not worried. I'm not worried either. But here's the thing. In order for AI to be dangerous, it has to be in control of things like trucking, infrastructures, electricity, and things like that. And if it's not in control of those things, it really can't do much. So the concern we have to have are for the malicious individuals who try and send in complicated programs in order to destroy us and our infrastructure. That's where AI could come in, because in some AI avenues, you can actually instruct it to write programs in code in C# or whatever it might be in JavaScript, and it'll write out code. And you can test it. I'm not a tester for that kind of stuff. I could ask my brother about this, because I have two brothers, and one of them, he's a computer programmer. He makes a lot of money. He's able to be the liaison between geeks, the engineering programming geeks, and normal people. And it's a rare combo. He can do both. And so people seek him out. And they try and headhunters say, hey, you know, come out. You know, we'll pay you, you know, an extra $50,000 just to work with us, you know, for 6 months. He goes, nah, I'm busy. So anyway, I can talk to him about stuff. He knows a lot about it. But anyway, the thing is, this is what the AI is. So, not a big deal right now. But if you're curious, I actually did some AI stuff, and just in some images. If you were to go to Carm right now, and you were to look up the article, Why Was God Angry with Balaam for Going with the Moabites? And one of the guys called up last week, and he asked the question, and I finally got the answer. I figured it out by doing some research. And there is a graphic on that page, and that graphic was generated by AI. I put in the code. It's not a big deal. It's just a couple of things to say and how to do stuff. And that's the image that I produced. And so it's non-copyrighted. So what I want to do is start filling in the articles with graphics like this, because they're fantastic. They are fantastic. So I've been enjoying that, and look at that. Why did that come up right there? That's right. What does the Bible say about witchcraft? And so I wrote about that and did another AI-generated image, and you can check that out too. So, if you want to give me a call, let me talk about that or whatever you want to talk about, just give me a call at 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And also, along this, I'm just sharing with you, because I like tech. I'm a tech kind of guy. And I really think it's going to be, I just love it. And if you go to the Microsoft browser Edge, you'll notice in the upper right-hand corner a little B. That's AI is now integrated into it. Play around with it and see what it'll do. It's pretty amazing. All right, having said all of that, if you want, give me a call, 877-207-2276. We are on the air in YouTube for another 2 minutes. We go for 10 minutes, unless they change things on me. And then we quit on YouTube and then go over, we continue on Rumble. And I ask that you consider going to Rumble if you like what you hear here. We have 299 followers on Rumble right now. It's not very much, but it takes a while to get through to people and say, hey, go to Rumble and check it out. And we're doing that because of how things are going in our culture, where we're not confident in our ability to be able to have free speech. I don't trust the system much anymore. I used to trust my government, think that everybody was doing the best they could, but I don't believe that anymore. So we're moving to Rumble because it's safe, and you can say things like, I don't believe the masks, the cloth masks, for example, for COVID, are very effective at all, because statistically they're only 3% effective of stopping stuff. So I just said that, and that's verifiable. It's not an opinion. It's verifiable. I have a documentation on my website. And so YouTube could very easily just say misinformation just because you're not allowed to speak anything negative about the status quo vaccines and all this kind of stuff. But Rumble, you can. Rumble, you can say what your opinion is. How about that? Isn't that something weird? You can say an opinion. And if people don't like your opinion, they don't want to cancel you. They don't want to get rid of you. I think it was yesterday I talked about this, where a man was checking out for a job. I forget where, how, what. At any rate, he said to the two ladies he was talking to, he said, have a nice evening, ladies, or something like that. And because he used the word ladies in reference to them, they considered it a microaggression, and that he was no longer eligible for this job interview, this whatever it was. Because he said, hey, ladies, you know, have a nice evening, ladies. That's it. And a microaggression. So my wife and I, what we've been doing with TV lately is trying to read wokeism into old films. And it's our attempt at self-entertainment, you know. You watch TV, an old black-and-white movie, or watch whatever, and then just reinterpret everything through the lens of wokeism. I think that would be great. I think that Babylon Bee would be great at doing something like that. So, hey, there you go. Anyway, okay, look, I'm sorry, tired of rambling. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. I was in a chat room right before I came in here, and one of the questions that was asked in the chat room, did Jesus preach or teach about hell? And I went and did a quick search and quickly found out that yes, he did. If you go to Matthew 5:22, Jesus says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. I went, wow, you know, there's hell right there mentioned. And there are lots of places where Jesus spoke about hell. And he says, if your right hand stumbles, you know, makes you stumble, cut it off, or it's better that it you lose one part than for your whole body to go into hell. And then, you know, there's Matthew 25:46, which is a common verse. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So Jesus did teach about the fiery judgment to come. And it's not a big deal, and you know, I'm not trying to be depressive here, but depressing, I should say. But it's just what happened. It's just what he was teaching. And so, when I did a quick search for it, I found the information very quickly. And this is a kind of funny in that what I'll do is I'll go into these chat rooms and people ask questions. And I'm like, did you think about, like, looking it up in the Bible? Did you think about just going there and looking it up? I don't know. I don't know what's going on with people. You know, it's like, it's interesting. So, let's see. Anyway, we got four open lines. If you want to, there we go. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Give me a call. And the guy who asked about Balaam, I have the answer. And if you want to give me a call, I can give you the answer over the air. Why did God get upset with Balaam when God said, well, you can go with the Midianites, or the Moabites, excuse me, and he did, and he got in trouble? What's the answer to that? I have the answer. I actually wrote an article, too. All right. Hey, let's get on the air with, let's see, let's get Monty from North Carolina. Monty, welcome.
Radio.
On the air. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Are you there? Monty? Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Hey, Matt.
Yes,
I am. Nice to be with you, man.
Hey, man. So what's going on? What do you got?
Matt, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I hear you. Maybe we have a bad connection. Can you hear me? I guess we have a bad connection. We lost him. All right, he'll call back. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And if you don't want to call and you want to just email, you can do that at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. You can email me. I'm looking at the inbox, and we have over 300 in there, but I'll look. Okay, my question is, oh, look, something. We got a question from there, too. All right, let's try this. Let's get to Ken from North Carolina. Ken, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
I've been listening to some different preachers on the YouTube in different places, and I've gone to other churches, and I've never heard them preach on the degrees of discipleship. And what I mean by that is that there were many disciples that believed, and I think they're called disciples, even some of the Pharisees, but they didn't renounce the Pharisean position. But it seemed to me that Jesus had a lot of disciples, some small and certainly some great, just like the 12 that he called. And it seems to me that some of the churches are falling into they're falling into being doctrinal specific, and also that if you don't believe certain things, you can't be a Christian. For example, there was a well-known man that was interviewing some people, and he asked them the question, do you believe in the 6 days of creation? And they said no. And his response was, well, then you can't be a Christian. I thought, that's silly.
Yeah, it's you don't have to believe in the 6 days of creation in order to be a Christian. There's nothing in Scripture that says you have to believe it. It's a good idea to do that. And we have a break, so hold on. We'll continue on with this because that's an important topic. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Ken from North Carolina, are you still there?
I am. Yes, I'm still here.
All right, so we're talking about degrees of discipleship. So we kind of ran out of time there.
Yeah, like the Samaritan woman, she was asked, basically, she believed, and she went and testified to many of her other people that she'd known. But, you know, it seems like some preachers are almost to the point of laying on burdens, as the Pharisees did, that the people could not bear. And I think only one thing was required, was faith and believe in Jesus Christ, and you would be saved, regardless of what you do thereafter, as far as going out. You know, some say you got to go out and you got to witness, you got to stand in the middle of the road, you got to preach, you got to go do missionary work, you got to do this, you got to do that, to be a true disciple. But from what I've generally observed in the New Testament, there are many, many people that were disciples, and yet we, in the Bible, we don't hear anything else out of them at all. Now, maybe they did go out and do that, but it seems like the only prerequisite for entering the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ was faith, belief in him.
Yes.
And even the faith on the cross.
Yeah, that's correct.
He didn't go out. He didn't attend the temple. He didn't do any sacrifices, as far as we know. And yet, you know, the Lord told him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Simple. And he didn't. Maybe he did confess sins in the fact that he said he was guilty, both him and the other thief, and you were innocent. But, you know, that is all.
Do you have a question, though? Do you have a question?
Well, yeah. It seems to me that a lot of preachers lay burdens on people that are too cumbersome for everybody. Some they are, some they're not. But there are, seems to me, degrees of discipleship, whether you do little or whether you do none.
So do you have a question, though?
Well, yeah. Are there degrees of disciples?
Depends on what you mean by degree. But there are some disciples, some Christians more dedicated than other Christians. And
Absolutely.
Called to do different.
Yeah.
They're called to do different things than other Christians might be.
That's correct. But like I said, I've heard preachers over the years teach some things, you know, like some would say, if you don't believe in the 6 days of creation, you can't be a Christian. Really? That don't make sense to me.
Well, if you were to go to my website, carm.org, and you were to look up essential doctrines of Christianity, you'll see what the Bible lists out as essentials.
Right.
And so there's two categories, essential doctrines and what we call adiaphora. And adiaphora is are as a set of things that are non-essentials. They're just not essential, but you should believe them. And there's a lot of debate about some of these things here. But nevertheless, so that's one of the things. I would do that. And a lot of times what people do is they elevate something that the Bible doesn't say is essential. Now, if you deny that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, then you can't be a Christian, because Jesus said in John 8:24, unless
Absolutely.
You believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. But nothing in the Scripture says unless...
The only. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I think that's the only belief that Christ asked of him was, do you believe in me? And
no,
Peter
more.
Confessed, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
No, there's more.
And that was it.
There's
yeah,
more.
All the much more.
The Scriptures teach essentials. The deity of Christ is one of them. Salvation by grace is taught by Paul, for example.
Yeah.
The resurrection of Christ.
Right.
The very nature of the gospel. Being born again. Jesus says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. The issue of monotheism.
Right.
So these are some of the essential doctrines of the Christian faith. Now, we ought to
believe. I agree with those 100%.
We ought to believe it in a lot of other things, but by not believing in, for example, six-day creation, doesn't mean you're not a Christian. So whoever said that is raising a non-essential to the level of essentials and is demonstrating he or she doesn't understand the biblical issues.
Yeah, and it seems like, again, they like to lay on heavy burdens to people that you got to go out and you got to do missionary work, you got to do this, you got to do that, and some people aren't able to do such things.
Right. Yeah, that's what I tell people, is that we're all called to be disciples and disciple makers. But how that's done is different for different people. I do radio and debates and teach. And there are people who, moms who raise kids for the glory of God. And there are men who are mechanics and women who are nurses. And they do their jobs
for
the glory of God.
Own.
I'm sorry?
Absolutely. Yes, they those... do. And it's all for the glory of the Lord. It's not for self-edification at all or mm-hmm. demanding that if you don't do this, you're not a Christian.
Right. So I'd suggest that what you do is you go to the website, carm.org, and look up Essential Doctors, and you can check it out. And you can respond to that person and say, can you please tell me where it says that you must have these, you know, believe this in order to be a true Christian? That's what you have to do.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay, no problem. All right, well, God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, bye. All right. Hey, if you want to give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's see. Let's get to James from North Carolina. James, welcome. You are on the air. James, I clicked on you. Hey, James, come on. Are you there, buddy? Hello? Let's see. Give another few seconds. And if you want, you can... give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, we'll put him on. Well, I'll just drop him, and then he can call back. And also, if you are interested in emailing me, you can do that, info@carm.org, and you can ask a question, make a comment there, and I can read them over the air. So here's one, for example. Interesting. I didn't know that. Web form, but it wouldn't submit. I got to check that out. Question is, both Testaments call Jesus a prophet. So did Jesus and Luke. Are other faiths correct to state he was just a messenger from God? Why does both statements say he's a prophet and not God in flesh? Jesus has three offices, prophet, priest, and king. So let's see, I'm going to type into my search engine and look for the article that has the scriptures in it. So a lot of people just don't realize, yeah, he was a prophet, but not only a prophet. He was a priest, but not only a priest. He's a king, but not only a king. So Jesus has three offices. So, for example, let's see, and Jesus, I'm looking for the basics. Yeah, here we go. He says he's a prophet, and that's in Luke 13:33. And he calls himself a prophet there. And in Matthew 13:57, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home. And so he's referring to himself. And he's a priest also, and that's spoken of in Hebrews 6:20. For example, where Jesus is said to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That is what that is. And, of course, he is a king as well. Jesus is the king. And they said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to them, it is as you say, Matthew 27:11. See? Prophet, priest, and king. Hey, why don't you give me a call? All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. We have wide open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I think what I'll do is get on the issue here of some of the mail that's come in. I'll check it right now. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. So, yeah, I was teaching about Jesus being a prophet, priest, and king. A lot of people, for some reason, I don't know why, but they don't understand very much about the personal work of Christ, even though, you know, it was to follow Christ. But how many of you out there know, for example, that Jesus has two distinct simultaneous natures, both divine and human, as a single person, and that he forever will be in that state, and that he died on the cross and rose from the dead in the same body he died in, though it was a glorified body? This is what the Bible teaches. And a lot of people don't realize that he will forever be that way. He forever will be a man. A lot of people just don't know that. They don't know why he was baptized, which I can tell you about if you're interested. And they don't know what it means for him to come back. There's all kinds of discussions and issues and all kinds of stuff that's worth discussing. So, hey, look, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And if you are interested, you can email me at info@carm.org. Info@carm.org. And you can get a hold of me that way. Let's see. Oh, yeah, someone wants me to go out to Pennsylvania. Church in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Yeah, I got that email. Good. Appreciate that. All right, let's talk to Cody from Ohio. Hey, Cody. Welcome. You're on.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Doing all right, by God's grace, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Amen. I hear you. So my question is, when Christ was hanging on the cross with the two thieves, and he said to the one thief that repented, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
Yeah.
But my understanding is that Christ had to be dead for 3 days in hell and then resurrected from the dead, and then he was seen by the multitude and then into heaven. I was curious how the thief could be in paradise with Christ that day if Christ had to be dead for 3 days.
First of all, he did not go to hell. It's a false teaching taught by many people in pulpits today. So it's just a flat-out false teaching. Hell's a place of damnation, of torture, of flame, and things like that. He didn't go there. Some false teachers, like Joyce Meyer, would teach that he paid the atoning sacrifice there and finished the atonement and sacrifice.
Right, that he had to defeat death in hell. You know, that's what I had been taught.
Yeah, it's damnable heresy.
Okay.
It's from the devil, and it's being taught in Christian churches, and Christians don't know what the truth is in that regard, many of them. So
right, more of us have to be like the Bereans and check scripture with scripture.
That's right. They need to do that, and they should do that. I want to teach them how to do that. I want to teach them. So when he was his physical body died, the hypostatic union continued in the two natures that were in the one person. That his personhood continued after death. And so it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, starting about verse 8, that he led captive a host of captives, and he ascended on high. So what probably happened, we don't know for sure, but what probably happened is that when he died on the cross, then he went and proclaimed the truth to those in bondage. That's out of Jude 6, 7. And then went and made proclamation of the spirits. And then 1 Peter 3 talks about this, 18 and 19. There's a lot of theories about this stuff. We don't know if exact or short.
Okay.
What I think happened is that once he died, he went to paradise, where the people who died in faith previously were abiding, and then brought them into heaven because the sacrifice had occurred. And then 3 days later was resurrected.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, thank you very much for your time and your explanation.
Sure, no problem at all. Well, God bless.
All right, man. God bless.
God bless. All right, if you want to give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Tristan from North Carolina. Tristan, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. Hey, I listen to you a lot, and I love the wisdom you give out. And I'm actually currently in a Bible study. And I kind of started it, and I'm in there with some of my brothers, and we meet up on Monday nights. And the other night, I kind of was a little frustrated because I felt like I wasn't really able to share what I wanted to say, and so I kind of just left. And I read in Romans 10, all I could think about was, you know, a lot of people, it said that they were in the habit of, you know, stopping to meet together in Romans 10, I think it was.
Okay.
And I'm curious of what your thoughts are on, you know, what would be a reason for not going to a Bible study and joining another one?
Well, they teach heresy, and you've corrected them, tried to correct them, tried to talk to them. They won't listen. You move on. That's one thing. There might be other extenuating circumstances to not go to a study, where you might have an ex-wife. Things like this happen, and you just don't want to be around her, you know, whatever. Things like that can happen. There might be that you have an issue with a particular individual or individuals for varying reasons. They might have something against you, and so you don't want to stumble them. There could be a lot of reasons, but the reason I wouldn't go to a Bible study is because they don't teach very deeply. Because I get bored a lot. I want deep theology, and I'm not going to find it
right
in a Bible study. So I don't go to Bible studies, because if I do, and they ask me a question, and I start answering something, then I take over the Bible study, and I'm not there to do that. So
right,
you know, so that I'm a little bit of a, you know, problem that way. So not intentionally, it's just what happened. So I don't really go, and I like to teach them instead. So that's just me. So there's lots of reasons to not go to Bible study that are valid.
And I understand completely what you were just saying. And for me, you know, I kind of started it. And the reason I thought it was a good idea is because I started to get into the Word a lot, and I grew a lot from it. And I just wanted to continue on doing that. And when I was mm-hmm. younger, I was in Bible study because my dad kind of put us there. And so I just thought it was a great idea to start it. And part of me doesn't want to just leave and then feel like, oh, I'm just giving up on them. And then the other part of me kind of feels like I'm just not growing, like you were just saying. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, that's where I'm stuck in the middle. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So you're not getting fed, right? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to whine and complain too much, but so many times I've gone to churches, and I remember this one, it's local here in Boise, Idaho, and I went to this church, and within 2 months, I discovered that I was bringing a Bible and notes in the back so that I could study it during the sermon, so at least I could learn something. And I have my phone now, and I can read commentaries. I can look at the Greek or the Hebrew. I can look at things and try and get a little deeper. And the problem here, of course, is that I'm unusual in that I do this all the time. I want deeper stuff. I'm not going to find it, but my wife will go, and she'll get stuff out of the sermons too, but she also gets a little tired and bored because there's just not much depth. I think preaching is a kind of a lost art, and talking separately here, a different way of kind of communicating about this. But I like the idea. I like black churches. Okay. I like black churches because they use imagery and they're excited, and it's wonderful. You know, you go in and it's an experience.
It's lively.
Lively. Yeah. And so I like that. And I want to find one. I wish you had one here in the Boise area where they taught Reformed theology and did, oh man, that would be a dream come true. But anyway, I'm just wishing on a star, you know. So a lot of the churches, in fact, I was just looking at something. I'm trying to put my thoughts together here a little bit better without rambling too much, because I don't want to get too uppity about everything. So someone called, left a message. I saw the, let me try this again in English. We have a system that I can see on the screens. I can see what the callers' names are, where they're from, how long they've been on hold, what the topic is. And that's how we work. And so it's very helpful. And one of them talked about TCT Ministries. So I hadn't heard of it, so I went in and during a break and did some research just a little bit ago. And it's positive confession. It's how to improve your life, how to get what you want, etc. This kind of stuff. And when we get back from the break, we'll tell you about what this is causing in my heart, this kind of thing. I'll talk to you about this, see what you think as well. Okay, we'll be right back, folks, after these messages, talking to Tristan, and hopefully it'll be an interesting conversation. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on air with Tristan. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, so we're talking about this issue of of the varying ministries and various whatevers where they seek to exalt themselves, to comfort themselves, to bless themselves, to be blessed, have themselves be blessed by God. It's very selfish. It's very immature. the thing that Christ called us to do was follow after him, and he served others. He laid his life down for others. The opposite is being taught by a lot of churches. You can go on TV and you can watch these people with great hair and nice sets, and they'll sell for $40 a trinket with the name of whatever on, things like that. And so one of the things I thought, what if I had a TV show where I just taught hardcore stuff and went through the scriptures and taught according to the scriptures and renounced and denounced these Padre Confessors people and denounced the idea that God just wants you to be healthy and wealthy and blessed and to stop believing in these lies, to stop believing in this compromise of truth, and that God has called us to more. God has called us more than just being comfortable, but to spend our lives as though our lives is money. Spend the money wisely. You spend your life wisely as you look toward God, saying, how can I breathe better for you? Have my heart beat better for you? Speak better for you? Walk better for you? So that others might come to know you. This is what we're called to do as Christians. Pick up your cross daily and follow after Christ. And yet Christians don't want to. Now, I'm not saying you have to be super sacrificial and everything, or you're not, or you're not a true Christian. As I said earlier, moms, right. I think I always like to use moms. They're great. They raise Christian children, and that's their job, and that's it. You know, they should do that. And the same with fathers, who do the same thing. And we have different levels of service, but this needs to be taught in the churches. But I believe if preachers started teaching that, people would leave the church. And I think that's good.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, and that's funny you just said that, because in our Bible study we have a lecture that he kind of comes up in lectures, and we it's like a 30-minute little lecture on what we studied, and we're in Nahum, however you say it, and talks, Jonah was preaching judgment, and Nahum was talking about, it's a really small book in the Bible in the Old Testament, and it talks a lot about, God's wrath. And when we were listening to the lecture, Alan was saying, basically, I've been to church my whole life, been going my whole life. Never has he heard a preacher talk about the book of Nahum and the wrath of God. And, it's like those little things that people don't really realize that in the scripture, mm-hmm. It's like it's overlooked.
It's Nahum, just so you know. And the thing is, what's going to sell? Jesus is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude. That's who he is. And in fact, I'm going to do an AI generator to see if I can get what that would look like. Jesus as the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude. Yeah, I'm going to do it right now, and it'll be interesting. But it's sad. It's sad. The people don't hear this stuff. It makes me mad. It really does. It does. Come on, we have so much. And why don't we focus on some of the things that aren't so pleasant sometimes and preach the whole thing? But people wouldn't want to go to church. They wouldn't want to hear it. And I'm not trying to guilt whip everybody, but come on. We are called to be disciples.
Literally.
And that's what we have to do. It bothers me. Yeah. Oh well.
And that was one other thing was, I thought about it and I was like, to myself, I was just thinking out loud now. I almost would rather just have somebody disciple me than I'd rather do that than spend, an hour of my night at a Bible study where I'm not really feeling like, I'm being fed, as you would say.
Yeah. Well, at least
growing.
I've had people want me to disciple them, and it's not that easy. But I want people to learn how to fish and to get into the Word and to risk. But there's going to be an apostasy of the Christian church, 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says. And it's because we aren't taking, the church as a whole isn't taking the gospel message seriously. The gospel message. You know, check this out. You know, this is what Jesus said
right
in in the last three verses of Matthew. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So this is what Jesus told people to do, his disciples. You know, make images. Make disciples. You know, why don't they do that? I'm puzzled by it. I'm puzzled by this.
Yeah.
So,
I guess overall, what was the answer you gave me?
I don't have an answer for you. It's just trying to find a good church so we can get fed.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, you know.
Well, I definitely need to pray about it. But
yes, something you might want to think about doing is doing your own Bible studies. And there's two things you can do, actually. One is do your own Bible study and develop an outline. But the other is to go to church and listen to a sermon and listen. Listen for something new. Because God uses preachers. And listen. And something that strikes you, go study it. You know, I used to go to Calvary Chapel. Even though I'm Reformed in my theology. And the pastor, Mike, he's a great guy. He would every now and then say something. I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way. And so I go study it from that perspective. So there's lots to learn. You know, we just got to be open to it and be ready, and we can do it.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. And I've actually, that was part of the reason I even called. And it was funny because you said the number to call, and I kept trying to memorize it and typing it in. I kept forgetting. And then finally, you were like, call, you got to open the line again. I was pulling up to my house. I was like, all right, perfect. I'm typing it in now. And then I got you the fourth try, but okay. I mean it's tough.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is. But you know, but there's a lot to learn out there, and we can learn from pastors. And I think the thing to do is ask God to open our hearts to things and have them anoint those words from the preacher so that we can learn from them. That's something we can do too. Okay.
There was a guy who I was listening to the other day, and he was talking about Judas Iscariot and Peter, and how they denied the difference between how they denied Jesus, and I thought that was incredible. I don't know if you remember hearing that, but that was something I hadn't heard before, and I was a little kind of like, it was profound to me the way he said it. But
okay, I don't quite recall. That's okay, though.
Well, I appreciate you.
Well, good. Thanks. That's okay.
Yeah, I appreciate your time and your thoughts and your love for everybody. So,
well,
God bless you.
Yeah, by God's grace, because I tell you, that's all it is, God's grace. All right, brother. God bless, man. God bless.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that was Tristan from North Carolina. Let's get on the air with Nathan from California. Nathan, you're on the air.
Pastor Matt, how are you again? As always, I'm doing well. I'm glad.
Okay.
Yeah, I like what you said.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know. I just found out right now. I looked it up, and I don't know why. I didn't look it up. I just found it in the computer. It was A.J. Miller, who says he's Jesus reincarnation, and he's married to Mary of Magdalene.
Oh, they've taught that. Yeah, a lot of people have taught stupid stuff like that. That Jesus is married to Mary Magdalene. It's ridiculous. No, it's not.
Exactly. And a message that they said that. You know, those people that killed themselves, the Seventh Day Adventist, I forgot the guy's name, but the guy who always wore the dark glasses, they all killed been solved so many times.
I'm not sure where all the glasses, but okay.
I forgot his name.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know. I can't tell you. All right.
You can't tell me about this guy, huh?
No.
Let's just say that he's not Christian because he says he's reincarnated, so and becomes Jesus, and became Jesus. So I don't believe in that for nothing in the world, but so many people do. It's like you tell something to somebody's ear and it comes out to the other ear for no reason.
Yeah, people say odd things. They do. Yep, that's right. That's it. So, yeah, I don't know who that guy is, but I do know the concept. And Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married, and it's not true. Like, it's just not
true.
Yeah,
well, his name is A.J. Miller from Australia, and then he came over here to the United States.
Okay.
And made a big old land, you know.
Okay.
Weirdo. I just want to know what you thought about him, what you knew about him.
I don't know. So can't comment because I don't know. I haven't studied him.
Okay, and
I do have a lot of people I have to study. A lot.
I just want to say that I love the verse about the last verse of Matthew that you said. I love it. That's why I say the Trinity a lot.
Well, good. I'm glad.
In the name of the Trinity, you know?
No. You don't say the name of the Trinity. You say the name of Jesus.
Jesus? Yeah, but together, say the Trinity.
No, in the name of Jesus is a phrase used designating authority out of Acts 4:7. So that's all that's going on. But you don't say the name of the Trinity in the name of Christ. Just be as biblical as you can, okay? Just state that.
You can't say that. It's not proper.
I wouldn't say it that way. I would not say it. I would not say it. I just keep telling the same thing. I would say what the Bible says. In the name of Jesus, certain things are done.
Okay.
That's what I would do. Okay. All right.
All right. Well, God bless. God, everyone there.
All right, Nathan. God bless. And Daniel from California, the second blessing. We don't have time to get to you because the music's going to start any second now. I want you to give me a call tomorrow because that's an important topic. A lot of churches teach it, the second blessing. What is it? And is it biblical? So, folks, I hope you enjoyed the show. May the Lord bless you this evening. And by His grace, we'll be back on here tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. Have a great evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.